Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Welcome to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo, keeping you connected to your faith and your world. Teresa tackles the issues of faith and culture, the pro-life message, and media awareness. And now, here's Teresa Tomeo.
Happy Thursday. It's Thursday, April 11th, 2024. Great to be with you, as always, on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Coming up on the program today, always a blessing to have the Cultural Connections perspective with our very own Father Mitch Apako, of course, Open Line, his wonderful talk shows, his radio shows, his TV shows, his books, his scripture knowledge, all of the above and so much more. Father Mitch Apako has been a fixture at EWTN for decades, and we're blessed by it. Today, he's going to be giving us his connection to this beautiful document that came out from the Vatican earlier this week on infinite dignity. That's the English translation of it, and what he thinks and some insights, as well as answering some questions. So that comes up at 15 minutes past the hour, as he does every Thursday for Cultural Connections. It'll be great to catch up with Mark Hart. He's a wonderful Catholic author, speaker, and evangelist. And there is a wonderful program out now through Ascension Press. They do so much great work in educating Catholics of all ages. But this actually is a Bible timeline for middle schoolers. So that'll be fun. Mark does a lot of work with youth. So great to catch up with Mark Hart. And he joins us at 39 minutes past the hour. Weather-wise, we do know that there are going to be some weather issues today, and they could hang around for a while, according to the National Weather Service. We have some severe thunderstorms, heavy rainfall in the Ohio Valley, the southeast and mid-Atlantic, and then blizzard conditions. Well, that's in Alaska, so that's not too shocking. But let me go to the states here in terms of closer to us. We have severe thunderstorms shifting into the Ohio Valley, the southeast, and the mid-Atlantic. That will happen today. And they still say there are some threats that there could be a few tornadoes, isolated large hail and damaging winds, heavy rainfall possible from the south central Appalachians to the northern mid-Atlantic, and then a strong storm continues to push, as we mentioned, off the Bering Sea into southwest Alaska, producing blizzard-like conditions, and that will stay with them through today. So some rough weather all across the United States. So just keep that in mind if you have any traveling in mind. And we do have some news reports as well regarding the weather. Gosh, there's so much to talk about and this beautiful document from the church, but also tomorrow on Fact Check Friday. I hope you tune in. I don't know if you've seen some of the stories that have been circulating, but there is one of the top editors, a business editor, Uri Berliner from National Public Radio, has come out with a very well-written essay criticizing his own network because for years he's been trying to get them to address their leftist agenda, their propaganda, their advocacy for leftist candidates and causes, and it's just fallen on deaf ears, and he just couldn't take it anymore. So he wrote a very well-documented essay about the problems with journalism today, especially within his organization. And he also did a terrific interview with Barry Weiss, a former New York Times editor. If you remember what happened to her, she was also forced out for similar reasons. And she has a podcast called Honestly. I listened to the whole thing last night and pulled several sound bites from it to run for you tomorrow. I ran a few of them this morning in the first hour of my program to share with my listeners. But it's very affirming to me and those of us who are no longer in the secular media, many of us who left for that very reason, because we just didn't feel like we could do our jobs. But it's so interesting when you have someone who admits, look, I'm very liberal. I'm a leftist. I voted this way. I voted that way. But that's not the point. Exactly. That's not the point. The point is that journalism is supposed to be journalism. Now, we all have our own biases. We're subjective human beings. But when you walk into that newsroom, you're at least supposed to attempt, as I always say here, to get both sides of the story. And he says that's lost, and he's devastated by it. And it's just a really, really good thought piece about the state of journalism today. He reminds me a lot of Bernie Goldberg. If you remember, Bernie was the first one years ago with his book Bias to come out. And he was a guy who says, look, I'm kind of, pretty much in the middle. I don't lean too left. I don't lean too right. But again, he was talking about the problems in the newsrooms that he saw in terms of leaving good basic journalism on the cutting room floor. And this is why what we do is so important here. I was thinking about this because at one point in the interview with Barry Weiss, Uri Berliner talks about that it's so sad that these news places, these huge operations in legacy media, you know, the major broadcast networks and some of the big cable outlets and big newspapers. He said it's so sad that they are basically caving because it just leaves America with horrible, horrible outlets. And it's really hurting our country. And he said with NPR, it's a very unique situation because they get funding from the government and tax dollars. And when Joan was talking about being in the new offices in Rome and the fact that we have so many reporters and offices around the world, I thought about Uri's words because he was saying that it's really important to have reporters in different places to cover stories at a moment's notice. Something breaks, to be there. It's super important. And we do that at EWTN. Now, the difference is that we make no ifs, ands, or buts about who we are. We say up front, we are the Turner Word Television Network. We have a saying at Ave Maria Radio that we're radio for Catholics and other Christians. So you know what we do. It's very different, and Early Berliner mentions this, when you hide behind the label of a news organization and yet you are into advocacy journalism. It's very frightening. If you are going to be an arm for a particular party or a particular organization, at least say it so people know where you're coming from. Don't hide and claim that you're a news operation, because you're basically lying about who you are and you're trying to misinform the public and pull the wool over their eyes. So we'll talk about that tomorrow at Fact Check Friday, but I just thought I'd mention it because if you haven't seen it yet, it's really worth both a listen and a read. It's really a good piece. It's a well-written piece. And the website for the free press is thefp.com. And the title of the article, and I'll mention it again tomorrow, and Andrew will put a link up on our Catholic Connection archives. He says, I've been at NPR for 25 years. Here's how we lost America's trust. And then we can also put a link to the podcast. But it's just worth listening and then thinking about whom you're supporting and what you're supporting. When you're supporting, I said this earlier this week, we've got a lot of radio affiliates out there who are trying to raise money to stay on the air. And now you have someone on the inside, another person on the inside of the leftist media saying, this has got to stop. We're not doing our jobs. Just thought I'd throw that out there. Okay. We'll talk more about it tomorrow, God willing, on Fact Check Friday. Right now, though, already 7 minutes past the hour. Andrew's probably pulling his hair out back in the studio in Ann Arbor. So, Andrew, it is time for the news, I know, and there's a lot of it to get through. Again, 7 minutes past the hour. You're listening to the one, the only EWTN. Let's get started. Arizona Republicans blocking an attempt by state Democrats there to cancel the law banning abortions in the state. The Arizona Supreme Court upholding the abortion measure, which bans most abortions except for risk to the mother. Joe Biden's reelection campaign is trying to put a spotlight on abortion with a new ad featuring a Texas woman who claims she almost died because of the state's ban. Pro-life groups say they must fight this head on.
The Democrat position is they're not backing away. They want to fight this at the state level and at the national level. And what we expect is Republicans to match that enthusiasm.
John Siaga was with Texas Right to Life and says we can expect to hear a lot of talk about abortion leading up to November.
The Democrats believe they have kind of evidence that if they yell abortion loud enough, that it will give them electoral success.
He also says a Democrat's narrative on abortion needs to be challenged. Families and community members are remembering the victims of the Francis Scott Key Bridge collapse. A vigil was held at Sacred Heart of Jesus Church in Baltimore this week. Those taking part walking around the neighborhood holding candles and stopping six times, once for each victim to say a prayer in their memory. The Archdiocese of Baltimore says it has raised more than $47,000 through its Francis Scott Key Bridge Relief Fund. Tammy Trujillo tells us that bipartisan lawmakers are now introducing bills in Congress that would address rising anti-Semitism in the U.S.
Democrat Jackie Rosen of Nevada and Republican James Lankford of Oklahoma are sponsoring the Senate's Countering Anti-Semitism Act, while Democrat Kathy Manning of North Carolina and Republican Chris Smith of New Jersey are co-sponsoring a House version of the bill. Rosen, who's Jewish, said in a statement that anti-Semitism has been dramatically rising in the U.S. in the last several years. She says the new bill would establish a national coordinator to counter anti-Semitism for the first time ever.
A 23-year-old man is under arrest in connection with multiple drive-by shootings at churches in Vancouver, Washington. The first shooting was early Tuesday at the Seventh-day Adventist Church, followed by shots fired at the Columbia Church following a reported third shooting. The Clark County Sheriff's Office says deputies eventually caught the suspect following a car chase. Aleski Saturn arrested and faces multiple charges now. No word if he will be charged with a hate crime for shooting at places of worship. Three people shot at a Ramadan event in West Philadelphia.
What we do know is there appear to be two factions within the park exchanging gunfire.
The Philadelphia Police Commissioner Kevin Bethel adding hundreds were at the event at a park, and five people have now been arrested. Bethel say the victims are recovering, and the majority of the people at the event were good law-abiding folks. A responding officer shot one of the suspects. He added a child was hurt during the police response. It's unclear what led to the gunfire. Yesterday marked the end of the month-long dawn-to-sunset fasting of Ramadan. An Italian Catholic watchdog group says a blasphemous ad featuring a priest consecrating potato chips in place of Eucharistic hosts has now been ordered pulled from the airwaves. As Catholic News Agency explains, the Italian Association of Radio and TV Listeners this week had called for the immediate suspension of an advertisement by the Italian company Amica Chips, one that the group said offends the religious sensitivity of millions of practicing Catholics. The association says on its website that its mission is inspired by Catholic principles. Giovanni Baggio, the president of the association, said in a press release Tuesday that the group urges creatives to be more respectful of cultural and religious identities and to work for commercials that are inclusive and that appeal to all users in a way that is careful not to create discomfort and disapproval. Mark Mayfield tells us a new report shows inflation, well, it's not going away anytime soon.
The Bureau of Labor Statistics reported that 12-month price growth accelerated from 3.2% in February to 3.5% in March. The report says items seeing the biggest increase include auto insurance, baby food and formula, and outpatient hospital services. Meanwhile, AAA says the average price for regular gas has gone up about 20 cents a gallon over the past month. Investors reacted negatively to the report, with stocks closing down sharply on Wall Street.
Rent prices are up for the third straight month. According to real estate company Redfin, they're also up 0.8% from last year. Median rent as of March is at $1,987. Rent has cooled in the previous three-month period, but they're now beginning to rise again along with inflation. And Chris Trinkman tells us that Florida seniors are now part of a nationwide trend of returning to work after retirement.
Rising homeowners insurance, skyrocketing rent, higher food costs, and just living longer have forced many seniors on fixed incomes to look for ways to make up the difference. The Labor Department says people 75 and older have become the fastest growing segment of the workforce. And in 6 years, 12% of Americans in that age group will be working, doubling the number from the year 2000.
A storm system is bringing severe weather today to parts of the southeast and the Ohio River Valley. A risk of high wind and isolated tornadoes stretching from the South Carolina-Georgia line down into Florida. The risk of tornadoes will be greater in eastern Ohio, West Virginia, and into parts of Pennsylvania. Heavy rain is also expected in the region where water levels are already elevated. And the National Weather Service is confirming that a tornado did touch down yesterday in the suburbs of Houston.
Looking at the damage and where damage was thrown, we can definitively say this was a brief tornado.
That's meteorologist Jeff Evans, who says that wind topped out at 90 miles an hour in the town of Katy. That makes a tornado an EF1. The tornado tore down power poles before dawn, leaving more than 100,000 power customers in the dark, toppled trees, also damaging several local businesses. Police have raided a home on San Antonio's southwest side that may have links to ultraviolet Mexican cartels. Sheriff Jeffrey Salazar says they seized a small arsenal of weapons that have been converted to work like machine guns.
We've got some information that some of these weapons were making their way south. In other words, going across the border to Mexico.
A handful of people have since been taken into custody. Investigators also found stolen cars and stolen police equipment, which had been taken from a school district police officer. Governor Wes Moore reporting progress in recovery and salvage efforts at the Key Bridge collapse site. Speaking at a news conference yesterday, he said crews are continuing to clear debris on a limited access shipping channel that can open by month's end.
And we're on track to open up a 35-foot deep channel by the end of April. And the length of that channel is also going to be 280 feet.
The governor also says there have been no changes to the timeline for opening a permanent, wider, and deeper federal navigation channel by the end of next month. 8 construction workers were on the bridge when it crashed into the Patapsco River. 2 workers rescued shortly after the collapse. The bodies of 3 others have been recovered, and 3 others are missing. Boeing is facing new allegations its planes have structural problems. Lisa Banks, an attorney for a Boeing whistleblower, says he claims the company's 787 Dreamliner is not safe to fly.
He is alleging that Boeing knowingly took a series of manufacturing shortcuts in the construction of the 787.
Boeing engineer Sam Salpor telling the New York Times that these shortcuts caused parts of the fuselage to be improperly put together, which could result in the plane falling apart after years of use. The allegations following an incident back in January when a door plug fell off a Boeing plane mid-flight. One of his lawyers says he was transferred to a different project after raising concerns and soon found problems with that one as well, Boeing denying the allegations. Daniel Martindale tells us the L.A. Lakers have fixed the spelling errors on the side of the Kobe Bryant statue outside of Crypto.com Arena.
The 19-foot-tall bronze statue unveiled in February had several misspelled words and names on its marble base. A crew also fixed a formatting error related to Bryant's Olympic gold medals and recreated Bryant's facsimile signature. The signature had read Kobe 24, even though the statue was wearing the number 8 jersey. Photos of the errors went viral after being posted to social media on March 11th.
An Oklahoma state senator is pushing for elementary school children to be taught cursive handwriting. Senator Kevin Matthews of Tulsa says it would help them read and understand historical documents.
My own grandchildren, 6 and 4 years old, it would be very disappointing to me that they could not go back and even read things I wrote when I was a child.
He co-authored a bill that passed out of the state Senate Education Committee yesterday. Schools would be required to provide cursive handwriting instructions to students in 3rd through 5th grade. And finally, in our news segment, experts say this summer is going to bring record-breaking travel numbers. Going.com spokesperson Katie Nastro says a nearly 5 billion people expected to travel around the world this summer is unprecedented.
2023 was really our test case of, are we sort of back to normal? You know, travel is definitely back, and it is significantly more so than we saw pre-pandemic.
In the U.S., over 90% of Americans say they plan to take a trip, with half saying they plan to travel internationally. Despite this, many airlines have slowed their operations due to uncertainty around Boeing planes after company problems. Thanks for tuning in to Catholic Connection on a Thursday morning. Father Mitch Pacwa, the one and only, up next.
From Rome to your home, EWTN's Vatican Bureau lets you watch all of the important events from Rome, even if you don't have a TV. Using the latest technology, we've made it possible to watch the latest news from the Holy See, all delivered directly to your home. Watch live on EWTN YouTube and follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. EWTN is the global Catholic network.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria mutual funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Do you have a teenager at home who's full of potential? Too often the world is telling you to be content with mediocrity instead of raising respectful and responsible young adults with strong character. Hi, everybody. I'm Dr. Ray. If you need some help, not only to navigate those teen years, but to really enjoy them, check out my book, Standing Strong, Good Discipline Makes Great Teens, as well as my other books, on the store page at AveMariaRadio.net.
People ask how they can care for older family members who can't fully care for themselves. One answer is Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care. Visiting Angels assists adults nationwide with 600 locations to continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Their caregivers provide assistance in hygiene, meals, and light housework. Services are provided up to 24 hours per day, and you can select your caregiver before service begins. More information, including franchise opportunities, is on the web at visitingangels.com.
Thanks so much for tuning in to the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network, EWTN.com, for all the great information on the program, including where you can find Father Mitch. Right now, though, he's on the phone with us because he is on his way to give a prison retreat. And joining us, Father, we appreciate it. So where are you going exactly? Where are you going to be?
I'm heading to Midway, Texas. I have no idea where Midway, what it's in the middle of. And then not far away is Centerville. I suspect it was an old stagecoach stop, you know, between Houston and something else.
So that's a nice territory, though. I mean, it's a beautiful state. Texas
is
huge.
It
really is a huge state. Yeah.
Just wonderful. Mm-hmm. Wonderful.
And well, we're glad you could join us. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
It's the wet part of Texas. There's water out there.
Are you there now or on your way there?
No, not yet. I'm in the airport. I'm getting ready to fly out.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll get to the topic at hand, and we pray for all those taking part in the retreat that you're leading. We're sure it's going to be wonderful. The document, Infinite Dignity, released on Monday by the Vatican. Your thoughts?
Yeah, a couple things. First, this document is drawing on a long history of Catholic teaching about human dignity. The document mentions back in the time of Leo the 13th, but actually we take a look and even what Leo the 13th was doing with his famous document on labor was drawing on earlier teaching that goes back, you know, it's a fascinating process to me. He's talking about the dignity of labor and respect for the workers and for the owners, and that there must be mutual respect based on human dignity. He wrote that a year or so after his encyclical to the Brazilians to set their slaves free. And the reason I make that connection is that the papal teaching on that was against slavery had gone back to the 1400s. And in that teaching, you see over and over and over again, and even when they draw on St. John Chrysostom in the 4th century, who are you to enslave somebody who had been set free from sin by the death of Christ? This gets at the core principle that at our creation, we are given a dignity of being made in the image and likeness of God. And in the redemption, every sinner can approach God and seek reconciliation through the death of Jesus because there is a dignity that God bestows and that humans have no right to take that dignity away. This was really big in the teaching of Pope Paul III when he repeated a century earlier there had been prohibitions of the slave trade. The argument was not, oh, this is nasty or naughty or something. No, there's a dignity inherent in a human being that is given by God, and no human can take it away. Well, you move forward, and we see attacks on human dignity just increasing. The modern world has become infamous for its attacks on human dignity, whether it's false racial theories, such as were used by the National Socialists, the Nazis, or whether it was a false understanding of economics by the communists who took away the dignity of people who owned property, or whether it's the people in more recent times, though going back to communist times, who take away the dignity of the unborn, or whether it be those who take away the dignity in modern slavery, in the human trafficking, which is far, far more numerous today than it ever was in 17 or 1800s. The number of slaves today is far, it's four times the number of all the people who had ever been brought over from Africa. And that kind of slavery, which is usually for sexual purposes, attacks human dignity. And the church, all the way back to its earliest days, sees that there is this inherent dignity given by God, and no human has the right to take it away. No. That is a starting principle for how we approach social problems.
Now, Father, we have about 30 seconds before the break, but that's a beautiful way to highlight it, because when you put it under that name, that title of infinite dignity, that's helping people connect the dots with, as you said, sex trafficking, trafficking of human persons, abortion, IVF, surrogacy, war, poverty, and so much more that's covered in that document. More with Father Mitch Pacwa when we return on Cultural Connections with him on a Thursday. Stay tuned.
Father Benedict Rochelle.
I must tell you that from what I observe from very young people, all of these blasphemers, all of these mockers are in for a tough time. Because the devil bites his own tail. And I find among young people a growing reverence and longing for God. I find a decline in the cynicism and skepticism around. Because it had to destroy itself. No one can live on being an enemy of God. It's too crazy. It's too absurd. It's too dark. It's too bleak. God is beautiful. God is holy. Why in the world mock God?
The people you know and trust are on EWTN.
Dr. Ray Guarendi.
He's not on drugs. Parents will come into my office and describe a litany of trouble about this long. Then they'll say this: I'm giving you the wrong impression. Overall, he's a pretty good kid. How so? Well, he's not on drugs or anything like that. One of the new moral high bars out there: he's not on drugs. You want to raise a child not with the absence of pathology, but with the presence of virtue. She's miserable with me, but she treats everybody else great. Again, not the absence of bad behavior, but the presence of good behavior. He's not on drugs? It's a rationale. It may provide some comfort. It's not a path to virtue.
Minutes past the hour. Thanks for tuning in to Catholic Connection, a co-production, of course, of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN. Find us both online, AveMariaRadio.net and EWTN.com. Father Mitch Pacwa, our Cultural Connections on a Thursday. So, Father, it really does make sense. And what I thought when I saw the title of the document, as I mentioned going into the break, it's so crucial to help people connect the dots, because on the surface, and I was talking to Father Tad Pacholczyk about this earlier this week, on the surface, if people hear, well, the church claims to be so pro-life, and then, well, why are they against IVF? Why are they against abortion? The church is supposed to be about love. Why are they against transgender surgery? Don't they love those people? But this really, if you have that title of infinite dignity, and then you have all those very important issues underneath it, my prayer is that people will hopefully take the time to read the document, if not read Catholic sources on it, because it really does pertain to the human person made in the image and likeness of God.
That's one of the keys. So you take a look at the issue of transgender. You may make surgical changes and then add hormones to somebody so that they seem to be what they aren't. But you cannot change them at the cellular level. In every single cell, they are double X or they're XY. everybody. You cannot change that. And to take away, when you do these surgeries, you destroy the possibility of them procreating. You neuter them in either, in whether male or female, and they won't be able to have children. There's a little part of me that suspects that's why it gets pushed.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say the same thing, more birth control.
Permanent, but it also reduces population. Mm-hmm. Remember, on many parts of the left, reduction of population is extremely high value, which is the opposite of human dignity in Genesis 1, to be fruitful and multiply, which is not giving us a mass problem. This is about humans being on Earth. And you watch and see, but you and I, well, I don't know about you, I probably won't see this too badly, but the generation coming up already notices the lack of playmates. And the reality is human population is going into a population winter, and there is going to be a radical decline. In fact, in China, they're talking about losing a billion in population by 2055. This is an attack on human dignity in a number of ways, and you see that sense shows up when the transgender people die so young. Mm-hmm. Their life expectancy is 40, and 42% of them commit suicide, and others have suicidal ideation. So this is a very serious issue. You take a look at in vitro fertilization. Again, there are medical problems with that. I hope one day you get Dr. Robin Pierucci back on, mm-hmm. Because she's done a lot of research on the medical problems with it for the children. But in addition to that, you also see that this removes the relationship of mother and father, whether you have a surrogate mother or whether you have and the same parents are both the contributors, and yet there's this change in the way of their relationship. Now, plus, you fertilize a lot of ova, and you throw away the extras. Plus, you expect a number of them to just die. So, you're making people, whether it is an embryo, you're treating them like a commodity.
Mm-hmm.
And the same is true. I mean, even with the transgender issue, doctors have treated them as a commodity. One doctor famously said at Vanderbilt Hospital, this is the transgender surgeries are supporting our whole department.
Yeah, yeah, the money in it is unbelievable. Yeah, and then although their lifespan is not that long, they do have a lifelong patient because of what's needed after the quote-unquote surgery. Yeah.
And so the pharmaceuticals see, cha-ching, cha-ching going on with, selling the hormonal treatments that have to be done for the rest of life. These are major problems that, are making people into a commodity instead of saying, no, there is an inherent dignity in a person. And that's where the church doesn't just look, well, it's not fair. It's by what standard? The standard is human dignity, not just the issue of, well, I got to have a child. There are so many other attacks on human dignity, and as a result, so many children are pretty well abandoned. And one of the things that, we have to just take a look at the way we treat human reproduction and our attempt to control it versus our dealing with a providence of God that, some people may not have a child, physically, but they can adopt and do a service for a child who would be subject to horrible life situations at times. So you have to look at this through another lens the dignity of the person and the providence of God. And how do I conform my life to both of those tensions? And they are tensions.
Right.
You know, but we have to, that's where we become mature.
I think the timing of this, I mean, I know they've been working on this for several years, but the timing of it with all these issues, IVF, surrogacy, transgenderism, this ideology that's out there, the timing of this being released, I think, is really, really helpful for people because we're being inundated with nonstop stories related to these issues.
Exactly. And it's also reminding us that this is the 75th year of the United Nations Declaration of Human Rights, and that document had used the language of human dignity, especially in light of the absolute horrors of the National Socialists in Germany, the Nazis, and of the Empire of Japan in the Orient. Especially China, Indochina, and other places where racist theories were also used by the Imperial Army against against everybody who was not Japanese. Now, Japan has changed their mentality on that in many ways. But, we don't see that was a time for human dignity. The United Nations came up to be a corrective, and the Pope is saying we're ahead of the on that.
Yeah. Well done, Father, as always, and we're praying for your retreat. Thank you for all you do, and great insight on this very important document from the Vatican on Monday, Infinite Dignity. We'll be right back. Catholic Connection continues on a Thursday. Stay tuned.
What is the most spontaneous form of prayer? The Catholic Catechism says it is the prayer of petition. Through prayer or petition, we express our awareness of our true relationship with God. We are not creatures of our own making. We did not begin ourselves, nor will we end ourselves. We are not the masters of adversity. We are sinners who know we have turned away from God. Our prayer of petition is already a turning back to Him. In the risen Christ, the Church's petition is buoyed by hope. The first movement in the prayer of petition is asking for forgiveness. That is, says the Catechism, a prerequisite for pure and righteous prayer. In the hierarchy of petitions, we pray for the kingdom, then what is necessary to welcome and cooperate with its coming. When we share in God's saving love, we understand that every need can become the object of petition. Christ is glorified by what we ask the Father in His name. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
It's time for Family Man with Dr. Gregory Popchak.
Household chores aren't just tasks that need to be done. They're a way for family members to learn to take care of each other. Families who create daily working together rituals don't see tasks like washing dishes or cleaning up the family room or folding laundry simply as things to do. By doing them together, these tasks become a way for family members to say, "I love you, and you can count on me to show up, not just for the fun stuff, but all the other stuff too." Family working together rituals help families connect around caring for each other and their home. And that's one reason family rituals for working together are such an important part of Catholic family life. To discover more ways your family can celebrate the liturgy of domestic church life, check out the newest editions of Parenting with Grace and visit CatholicCounselors.com. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, but you can call me Family Man.
To discover more ways faith can enrich your life, visit CatholicCounselors.com.
Catch up with Mark Cart. It's been a while, but he does great work. He's continuing to do so. He serves as Chief Innovation Officer for Life Teen International, a graduate of Notre Dame, 28-year veteran of youth ministry, a best-selling author of over 20 books, and he's a host, he's a speaker, and he's just an all-around great guy, and especially in terms of Catholic teaching. Mark, great to talk to you again. Happy Easter, my friend.
Teresa, great to hear your voice. I would say my old friend, but I won't. I'll say my longtime friend.
Well, that's okay. I'm not ashamed of my age. I'm only 22, so no problem. I wish, right?
Too many times over now, yes. Exactly.
There you go. Well, listen, tell us about the Bible timeline for middle school. This sounds exciting.
I can't tell you how excited I am to talk about this. You know, anyone who's familiar with Catholic resources, with the one and only Jeff Cavins, they know the Bible timeline. They've heard of it before. I worked with Ascension Press for many, many years now. They're tremendous people who do great work. But this one I'm really excited about. I've done the Bible timeline with high school students called Venture, but this new one called Encounter is something completely different. And the visuals, the graphics, the talent, the work, the hours behind this one, this is literally, I'm not exaggerating, this is unlike anything that the Catholic Church, or actually anyone, has seen before. This walk through the Bible for middle schoolers is unrivaled, and I'm so excited because this is a cross-section, let's be honest, that none of us want to go back to, and most people don't want to deal with. Middle school is a really wonky, crazy, insane time, and it's a critical time if we want to keep our kids and our grandkids Catholic.
I was going to say that because with everything that's out there, especially what's happening in education, and oftentimes, unfortunately, there are schools that identify as Catholic or Christian and who are not exactly teaching the faith and are teaching something counter. This is such a sensitive time for young people. And you know this as someone who's worked in the area of youth ministry for a long time.
Well, absolutely. And, you know, and statistics, and they'll tell you, if you don't catch a young soul, a young man, woman, by middle school, the chances of them actually engaging in and remaining in the faith in high school, college, or after, they dramatically decrease. Like middle school is that last chance, that last entry point, the last catch net point for us to continue to walk with and keep young souls in the faith. And as you know, even though things, you know, technologies change, apps change, you know, I mean, the culture changes. The reality of what transpires in middle school with adolescent development, mental, spiritual, emotional, that has not changed in decades. I mean, it's still that really awkward moment where life and reality and, you know, and biology and chemistry and family, they all intersect.
Right.
And this is where parents, they either rise or they fall, and they either engage or they don't. And this is where, as a church, we need to be able to meet them where they are and say, you are a young soul, you are a young man or woman with dignity, who God created with a plan, and to find yourself in that plan makes all the difference.
Now, interestingly enough, we were just talking to Father Mitch Pacwa, as we do over Thursday, Mark, about the Infinite Dignity document that came out on Monday from the Vatican, which is so huge, especially in light of what kids are being exposed to. And I would agree that things in terms of, you know, what we go through in life, that probably doesn't change. But I do think, and you and I have talked a lot about this with my media background, that what they're being exposed to now, and you know this, is different than it was even 5-10 years ago, don't you think?
Oh my goodness! Yes, I mean there's something called an age compression, and what you and I, Teresa, we were exposed to in college and after is now what fourth and fifth graders are being exposed to as part
right.
of a curriculum. I mean, it's really unfathomable because what politically what they're being exposed to, if emotionally, spiritually, they're not akin, they're not prepared to even begin to comprehend. And to be able to interpolate, and so to be able to say, you know, we have, let's be honest, we have a culture where we have parents running around, running ragged, working so hard to send their kids out to a college to the best atheist minds that money can buy, and if we do not ground them in middle school, in high school, reinforce them with the faith. I mean, it takes a village. If we don't all get on the same page and say, this is who you are, and Catholicism is not a cultural thing. Okay, it's not something that we just kind of do on Sundays. This is part of your. This is the fabric of your identity. And if you begin to find yourself in the story, not just hear stories from the Bible, find yourself in the story, find yourself in this. Find Catholicism as an indispensable, immutable part of your identity at a younger age. And by the time you get to college, you're rooted and you're anchored that no matter what any professor says, you know who you are in the person of Jesus Christ. Now we're talking. But if we don't catch them now, we are all missing out. We're all losing out, not just our kids and grandkids.
Amen. Talking with Mark Hart, it's the Encounter Bible Study, the Bible timeline for middle school. Even looking at the website, ascensionpress.com, the link to it, the cover, the overall cover is very exciting. And I automatically think if they could just kind of really start getting into this, because how many of these young people are into the video games, right? And all that violence in the video games and the action and the movement. Well, there's so much real live action in the Bible with the various, you know, characters in the Bible. They're real people. But what I'm saying is, for example, the story of King David or other things in the Old Testament, right? If they can only understand the beauty of our faith, how far it goes back and how exciting it is, and real live situations and struggles that people had, I think it's something that young people could really, to which they could really relate.
And that's why, Teresa, I'm so glad you said this. I'm so excited about this. When Ascension approached me and said, would you take on this project? This has been 3.5 years in the making. And my caveat was that I will write it, I'll produce it, I'll host it. I said, but I want them looking at my face the whole time. You know, I said, we have to engage this generation visually because they are accustomed to the greatest when it comes to video, graphics, special effects, animations. We went and found the most talented young Catholic animators and illustrators, and literally 85% of what they're going to view in the teachings is not just, you know, some, you know, Catholic guy talking at them, but the visuals, the animations, the cartoon, the graphics. We could never have done this 20 years ago. We've used every specific kind of software and app available to us to make this the most visually incredible and cutting edge. If you go to ascensionpress.com and click on the Encounter link, just watch the video trailer. It's astounding how much quality is there.
How long did it take?
Honestly, I mean, it took me a better portion of 3.5 years.
Wow.
And I can tell you that, I mean, the 8 videos, the videos, they only spent 10 or 15 minutes. Let's be honest, the attention span of a middle schooler is about that of a goldfish. So, I mean, 85% of what they see is not a talking head. It's visual reinforcement, because this is how this generation learns,
right,
is through video. So to be able to employ that, but be able to take the timelessness of Scripture and extract themes that the modern adolescent, the modern middle schooler is dealing with: peer pressure, insecurities, identity, sibling rivalry, temptation, all those things that they have to deal with, extracting those themes, those characters from Scripture, and then being able to put it before them in the workbook, in the leader guide. And we've created it in such a way that this is not just for classrooms. It's not just even for youth ministry programs. You can do this in your home with your kids or your grandkids. Even if you have no theology, you can literally press play and walk through it together. We're trying to bring families together. We're trying to bring the church together, not just create one more resource for a Catholic school teacher.
So is the best place to go right to the ascensionpress.com website, or is there a special link for it, Mark?
No, that's it. If you go to ascensionpress.com, you'll see it there. You can, or you can type in Encounter. If you don't, you can watch the free trailer. You can even get a free preview pack. And we're so confident that you're going to be blown away by the quality that if you order it and you don't like it, you send it back, you get your money right back.
Well, I don't know if you saw this story, but it was interesting because I do the news every day for our listeners, and I'm always going through wire stories. And, of course, because of my media hat that I wear, I'm always noticing stories about the media. I don't know if you heard this yet, but this is on the wire. It's one of the wire services that we use, and it ties directly into the importance of what you're doing exactly with this study. Listen to this Bible study. A new study suggests that teens who spend too much time on computers and video games may turn psychotic. A new paper published in JAMA, the Journal of the American Medical Association, Psychiatry, says researchers studied over 1,200 participants who spent a lot of time online as teens and found they were up to 7% more likely than their peers to have a psychotic experience, such as delusions, hallucinations, before the age of 23. So this is the Journal of the American Medical Association Psychiatry magazine talking about how inundated these young people are with video, with gaming, with that constant stimulation. And imagine just putting something so positive, such as your study, in front of them. I mean, talk about important, right?
Oh, absolutely. And that's documented, I mean, in a medical journal. But think about this, too. And you know this. I mean, my goodness, raising your own family. How many families are parking their kids in front of computer screens, iPads, phones, because they don't have time or make time to parent? And now you would literally say, like, what concerns us, what should concern us is not how much our kids and grandkids know about the world's sex politics, but where they're hearing it from. And if you can take the source, the one and only source of truth in our Catholic faith and scripture tradition, unpack it in a timely way with presenters who love the magisterium and who love mm-hmm. the Lord Jesus and his Blessed Mother, you put those voices with timeless truth in front of a formidable young soul, well, now we're talking about something. Because now at least there's a counteractive voice to everything they're experiencing, not only in the classroom, but on the school bus, on the playground, in the lunchroom, in their sports team. Now you have a different voice counteracting what they're being told, the lies that are being espoused by so many sources around every young soul.
Every single study shows that despite what the culture says regarding, oh, kids don't listen to their parents, but just the opposite is true. If the parents aren't there mm-hmm. providing these kinds of educational opportunities, connecting with them, maybe doing this something like this with them at home, or just making sure that they're there involved, then they turn to the culture. But
absolutely. If
the more tools that parents have that they can connect with their kids, the better.
And again, in no way am I trying to create some false narrative, like this is a balm that will solve every problem. No, but you know what?
No, but it's another really, really good, well-done tool. It's well-produced.
And in every family, this is middle school, you know, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth grade, this is the awkward time when a kid starts. I mean, think back. You start the year 4 feet tall, you end the year 8 feet tall. You're so aware of yourself, your hormones, your peers, the people around you. This is where families start to kind of separate in terms of who is and is not engaged in the moral formation of their kids. This is where we start to lose their attention, where their eyes start to drift, where their hearts start to drift, and they start to ask this deeper, deeper questions about life in general, their identity in God and culture. This is where we have to meet. And instead of meeting our kids where they are, a lot of people, they stopped having difficult conversations. They stop engaging. They stop trying. And ultimately, culture starts raising our kids instead of us. And this is where it's so crucial. And there's every parent and grandparent listening. I've been doing this for 28 years. This is so crucial that we meet our young people where they are, give them the space to ask questions. We don't force it down their throat. We present a beautiful alternative to the world they're living in, and we show them that, you know what, hey, it's not going to be as flashy or as sexy or as this or as that as the world, but you know what, it's real and it's true, and you are good, and God created you for a purpose, and we have to reinforce these images and these messages to them.
Okay, so one last question. We only have about 60 seconds. When in the world are you going to get excited about this project?
You know, it's the Irish side of me. See, you know, I know you're Italian. I wake up. I've got four of my own kids. I've got, you know, three through middle school and high school, and you have one coming up. And the most important gift you can give is not to put your kids in your will. It's to introduce them to the Father's will.
Oh, I love that. You should print up a T-shirt like that. That's awesome.
Maybe I will. Maybe I'll get passionate and I'll find some more time. But I love you. I adore you. I haven't seen you in so long, my friend.
Yeah, I know. You're great. This is so cool. I mean, this is, I'm always saying this, and you know this because of my media background, and that's why I was so thrilled with the movie Cabrini, because I thought it was just over the top. So well done. It was so well done.
Beautiful, yes.
And we have the talent in the Catholic world, and if we're going to be presenting things, we can do this, and we can do it well, we can do it wisely, and kudos, my friend, for this incredible study. Talking with Mark Hart, the Bible study is Encounter, the Bible Timeline for Middle School. Check it out, ascensionpress.com. Thanks, Mark. Happy Easter. We'll be right back. Stay tuned.
Hi, this is Father Mike Schmitz. Please join me for Ascension's Bible in a Year and Catechism in a Year here on EWTN Radio. We're going through the entire Bible and the Catechism in 365 days. If you've ever wanted to understand what it means to be Catholic and allow those truths to shape your life, this is for you.
Bible in a Year and Catechism in a Year with Father Mike Schmitz. Tonight at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on EWTN Radio.
Christ is the Answer with Father John Ricardo.
I repeat, I'm sure ad nauseum to the guys who are here, a line from Pope Benedict Emeritus now, who used to say over and over again, to be a Christian is not the result of an ethical choice, but the result of an event, an encounter, a meeting with the living God in the person of Jesus Christ. This and nothing less is what it means to be a Christian. So we said the new evangelization is new in ardor. That's a kind of old-fashioned word. What in the world is ardor? Ardor is zeal, fervor, passion. Are you passionate about Jesus? Passionate about Jesus? Are you zealous for Jesus? Are you fervent for Jesus? Are we fervent for the gospel? Are we passionate about helping this world come to know him?
People ask how they can care for older family members who can't fully care for themselves. One answer is Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care. Visiting Angels assists adults nationwide with 600 locations to continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Their caregivers provide assistance in hygiene, meals, and light housework. Services are provided up to 24 hours per day, and you can select your caregiver before service begins. More information, including franchise opportunities, is on the web at visitingangels.com.
Don't forget, if you didn't write anything down in terms of the websites that we discuss, my amazing producer, Andrew Krucek, always puts the links on our archive section at AveMariaRadio.net. It will be a Friday tomorrow, good Lord willing. Always forward to having our president and chief operating officer, Doug Keck, on with us to give us the inside word regarding great programming. And then also for Fact Check Friday, I'm going to be diving as much as I can, even though it's a short segment, into this fascinating interview with the NPR editor talking about bias in the media. And this is from a man who's a self-identified left-wing person in terms of his politics. But he says the bottom line is we're supposed to do journalism, not opinion pieces all the time. We'll talk about that tomorrow. Have a great day. Ciao, ciao.
You've been listening to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo. Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio, and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Andrew Krucek. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net. Thanks for listening, and join us next time for another edition of Catholic Connection.